I can't believe Trump declared himself dictator. Like, I can believe it, but I didn't think it would happen this soon.
And he did it so nonchalantly, just like walking into the Today Show. He wasn't even supposed to be on air that day.
I thought Al Roker was going to faint.
And he did not. Good for him. And I also was not expecting Nancy Pelosi to literally kiss his feet after.
She got down on a knee for the second time in the last couple weeks, last few weeks.
Also symbolic?
Do you see... this is... I mean, we're making a joke here that, you know, the last time we recorded a double episode, a lot of shit happened in the next 2 weeks. So we're getting ahead of it this time. Of course.
Yes.
But did you see that when in quarantine, Nancy Pelosi, like, Jenny's Ice Cream or someone is, like, one of her biggest donors, and she, like, tweeted out a video of her, like, enjoying quarantine, and she had, like, a whole fucking freezer full of Jenny's Ice Cream. Like, she's literally just an ad.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What the fuck is democracy, right?
Well, that's what it is right now.
Here. Oh, man, what a piece of shit.
Maybe it's something else in fucking New Zealand, but...
Yeah, those fuckers that have people fight for them.
But look, she took a knee. She couldn't get up from her knee, but she did go down for it.
She went down. I think she's still down, actually. Nobody helped her up. Because Trump ordered it. Our dictator Trump said not to.
And as has been mandated law, every podcast must start with a praising of the dear leader. It's a newly enacted law, and so we're not ones to disagree with that.
No, we don't want to get shamed on Twitter relentlessly. Yeah. Which is now the punishment for breaking the law.
Of course. The Antifa president, Rob Delaney, was assassinated. He lives in London. They got him there, doesn't he? He lives in England, I think.
He does live in England, or did live in England.
Well, yeah, rest in peace, rest in peace.
Yeah. Yeah, now that Antifa's done, we can finally live peacefully.
Oh, the terror that they brought upon this world. It's finally over.
Oh, man. We've done this bit before, haven't we? We did it when Trump was elected.
Undoubtedly. We absolutely did this.
Full fucking circle. I remember one of our first episodes, I predicted Trump was going to get impeached and out of office by June. You remember
fucking,
that?
Fucking what an idiot. I thought it was semi-realistic.
We were so naive and dumb.
Yeah. But it's okay now.
Well, and now he's a dictator.
The dear leader provides.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know what's worse, like, this bit, or if it's like, or if it's not, if it's, like, actually hits. You know? Like.
Oh, I wish both could die.
The
both
bit.
The bit and it hitting.
Yeah. Me too. Well, at least Joe shoot him in the leg Biden might be president or not.
That is very true.
I'm still not convinced he's going to win an election.
Yeah. Part of me is like, how could he lose against Trump? But yeah, he kind of just sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, he's leading in a lot of the polls, but it's one of those things where, like, well, at least at the time this comes out, I don't know. But there's, like, a long time between the election and now. And I feel like people are overlooking that. Yeah.
Some incredibly dumb shit.
Yeah.
And he already has.
And, like, Trump really hasn't unleashed his attack on him, you know? And, like, Republicans always come home. So, like, yeah. It's, like, a lot easier for Biden to pull well now than it will be at the actual time to vote, you know?
Especially with all the protests and coronavirus. A lot of Republicans are probably thinking, I won't vote for him. Or they'll lie and say, I won't vote for him.
Yeah, or they'll be, like, unsure now.
Yeah. But when they're in the ballot box,
they come home. They come home.
Yeah,
I don't buy it. And I really am unsure that Biden's going to win. And
yeah. He's going to also just get mopped on that debate stage.
The one good thing about all of this is that I think there might not be a debate of any kind. I hope there's not.
Not only is that good for Biden, but also it would just be depressing.
What if I just shot you in the leg?
I cannot believe you have the audacity to say that during this shitstorm.
Trump, I will give you $300 million to reform.
Oh, fuck. Let's talk about something more uplifting, Matrix.
The Matrix. Fucking dope as shit movie. Okay.
I'll take that blue pill right now.
You know, we talked about it last episode, and I have reconsidered. When you put it that way. Okay. We left Trinity, Neo. They're in the real world. Tank is also in the real world. Morpheus, captured by the agents. He's being interrogated by the agents, and they're gonna like kill him, but they want to get the location of Zion, the last hope of humanity, the last city of organic humans, so they can wipe it out and finish off humanity once for all. Neo and Trinity are going back into the Matrix to save Morpheus and prevent that from happening. Is that basically everything? We can talk about the subplot where Tank wants to kill Morpheus so they can conceal the Zion location. There's not much to say.
That was the thing?
Well, he was going to unplug Morpheus. He was like, there's no way Morpheus holds out forever. Like, Morpheus wants to protect Zion. Like, let's just unplug him. And Neo's like, no, because I am the one, and I'm going to save Morpheus.
Isn't Tank kind of right in this circumstance?
100%. It's absolutely reckless what Neo's proposing.
Yeah. And also just kind of cruel. Put Morpheus out of his misery.
That's true, too. He's being literally tortured this whole time. But
it's
no.
Like kind of gruesome.
Yeah. Okay. So this scene begins, the entering back goes back in. They go into the construct, and Tank's like, what do you need to get this done, Mr. The One? And Neo's just like, guns. Great fucking line. And then just like...
Great fucking line.
Just like rows of guns appear, and they just get loaded up to the T. It is a great scene.
It's incredible. And some say it might not feel realistic. I disagree. Cops can do that whenever they want. They get all the fucking guns in the world they want at a flick of their fingers.
That's true.
Why can't Leo do that? Neo do that?
I keep calling
him Leo.
Yeah, it would be different if it was like DiCaprio, but it's not. You just have to remember one backwards.
That is true. Easy. Which is obviously Neo.
Yeah, of course. I love how perfectly evil the agents are. Like, they're so pretentious and smug, but also they're just like...
I just want to punch them in their face.
Yeah. But they're so... That's what just makes them perfect.
They're like a bunch of Don Jr. Like, Don Trump Jr.'s. Whatever the fuck his name is. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, isn't he the one who hunted the world's largest sheep or something?
Yeah, it's like a bunch of those fuckers.
Yeah.
Personality-est drones.
Yeah. So yeah, they're going back into the Matrix, loaded up. Neo has embraced his oneness. This whole scene from here on out is just, it's so good. It's just so good. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm at a loss for words.
It's a line of cocaine.
Yeah. So it starts with them walking into the apartment building, which Morpheus is being interrogated in by the agents. And they, like, I think it's an apartment building, but there's, like, security. There's some sort of security in this apartment building. I don't know. And then, like, Neo lights up, like, the metal detectors. He, like, clearly fails. And so, like, the security guy is, like, wants to wand him, like, TSA. And Morpheus, like, undoes his jacket, and he just has so many guns. And, like...
ridiculous amount.
And he's like, it's time to go. And they just go in a shootout for the ages. What a fucking scene that is.
What a... Debris flying everywhere in the lobby. Just all of the guns and death you need.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if anybody dies.
I think the security or police people die.
That's true. They probably die.
So yeah, it's Neo and Trinity just going ham with all the weaponry that they were able
fucking
to pull.
Shit up.
Fucking glorious. Apparently, yeah, well, I guess we'll talk about that in the fun facts. I'll skip over that part. They shoot up this lobby, and then they, like, take the elevator up. Isn't there, like, a comedic moment there? Or they, like, press the wrong floor or something? I don't know. So then they take the elevator up to the agents to try and free Morpheus. And they end up going up to the roof, right?
Yes.
So the agents know they're there. One of them goes up, meets them at the roof. And this is like one of the most famous scenes in cinematic history happens.
It's iconic.
There's like a shootout. Neo runs out of bullets. So it's just, other guys' bullets, agents' bullets versus Neo. You'd think he's fucked.
Calls for help. He thinks he's fucked.
Is he fucked? Absolutely not. You know why? Because he's figured out how to bend the rules of the Matrix. It's just a computer simulation. You can bend the rules, Noah. And boy, does he.
I'm doing that constantly.
Boy, does he. This is the famous scene, of course, where he bends over and dodges all the bullets.
Seeing it for the first time, it was the most badass thing in the world.
It holds up. It really does.
It's really fucking cool.
Because it, like, kind of became a meme, and, like, it's a well-known scene just because of the special effects that are used for it, and it's just so iconic. But even, like, within the context of the movie, it really holds up. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. It's good. 100%. It's really good.
And I can't imagine in the 90s seeing that. Your mind much just melted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So good.
But he ends up getting shot. I never knew that. He got shot in the leg.
I forget that, too. Yeah, he does. He gets nicked, I guess. But still.
Yeah.
But it's not enough. It looks like he's down. The agent has him got, after all. It's after he dodges all the bullets. And, Trinity comes, this is the dodge this line, right?
Yeah.
So the agent's holding.
Yeah.
You go for it.
Yeah, so the Neo's on the ground at gunpoint, and Trinity walks up and says, dodge this, and shoots him point fucking blank, and he fucking falls like a brick.
So good. So fucking good.
That's a mic drop on, like, the 10th degree.
And this is where they, like, steal his helicopter, right?
Yeah, I vaguely remember a helicopter scene.
Yeah, where, like...
Again, I watched this last night.
Well, a week and a night ago.
A week and a night ago, you're right.
Back when we were in a, well, we were in a quote-unquote democracy, but now we're in a literally not democracy. Yeah. I loved the helicopter part because it was like, it was back to like the computer fantasy of like being able to download knowledge, because she's just like, yo, Tank, I need to learn how to drive this helicopter. And he just like downloads it to her. It's so fucking good.
That was really, because it kind of brought that aspect of the movie back full circle, which was really a good payoff.
Yeah, for sure. And then this is the part where like they get in the helicopter and he drives, or she flies the helicopter, and Neo has like the helicopter machine gun, I don't know, Gatling gun sort of thing. And they find Morpheus. And I love this. I love this scene because it kind of doesn't make sense. But he just unloads on the room that Morpheus is being interrogated in. But Morpheus is in the room.
Yeah. What but the I fuck guess, is he doing?
So, like, the only explanation I can think of is, like, he's so one with the Matrix that he, like, knows he won't hit Morpheus, you know? Like, he's just reached that level. Like, but, like, when it's happening, you're just like, he's just shooting at his friend.
Again, he just wants to fuck shit up. This was never about Morpheus. This was about killing a bunch of people.
Yeah, he just unloads on the room that that Morpheus is being interrogated in. The agents flee. It's just, when he's done firing, it's just Morpheus left sitting there. They're able to get him. And then I think that's when, like, Morpheus looks up and he's like, he is the one. but yeah, yeah, so they get Morpheus, and then, eventually, as they're escaping, Neo ends up in a one-on-one battle with, like, the lead agent. And this is where, let me tell you, folks, this is where Neo goes into God mode, and this movie somehow finds another gear.
Yeah, it does, and God mode is the only way to describe this.
It's so fucking good. Like, so yeah, so they find a phone booth because they're talking with Tank. They're like, Tank, get us out of here. So Morpheus, they let him out first. Trinity goes, she's about to tell Neo she loves him, which I guess is something the Oracle told her about. And then before Neo can get called up through the phone, the other agent appears because they can, like, warp into people. And it's just him, mano y mano. He has to fight him. No other way. And holy shit, it is incredible.
Nobody's ever beat a agent one-on-one.
No one's ever beat an agent one-on-one.
Reasons, like, 1v1 me, bro.
Yeah. He's bending time. I just love the part where it's like he's just going in slow motion, and like the other guy's going fast around him. That's so fucking good.
And it, like, his face is blank, and it's like he's just toying with him, you know?
Like, he's just achieved maximum Matrix, and he's just like fully has reached his maximum potential, and it's just a fight scene for the ages.
Yes, just so badass. And it doesn't, like, everything become numbers for him at some point?
Yeah, 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 it does. Yeah. Like, near the end of the... When he finally achieves full...
Think is a great way to visualize.
Well, it's kind of a callback to, I think Tank. No, I think it was Cypher. Because, like, when they're looking at the screens, it's all numbers and shit. And Neo's, like, when he's first in the real world, he's like, is that the Matrix? And Cypher's like, yeah. And Neo's like, how do you know what's going on? And he's like, it's all ones and zeros, you know, like binary code, all that. But, like, at a certain point, you know, you begin to see, like, the real world through the numbers. And so that's a callback to that line when, like, that's like right before Neo achieves full God mode, is when he like looks up at the agents and he just sees like the numbers and the green, the black, you know, screen and green text, and that's how you know he's maximum Neo, and he is the one. No, he is the one. You understood all that though, right? I didn't have to tell you that.
No, I play. That was actually one of the few parts of the movie I think I got.
But yeah, fucking Neo goes ham. He kills some agents. It's fucking glorious. He goes back to the real world. He shares a kiss with Trinity,
which Trinity confesses her love for him. I did not see that coming at all. I had no idea that she was in love with him or that it was a romantic relationship in any way. Was that just me or was that kind of sprung upon us?
So it wasn't super obvious. I think, and we can talk about the directors. They have very unique kind of perspective. They're very unique directors in a lot of ways. But Trinity's definitely not just a love interest, like, token female. Like, she's a much stronger character than that. So I think that is part of it, where the love subplot is very secondary to her character. So I think maybe that's why it felt that way. But I guess, like, that's kind of something, like, falling in love is something the Oracle told her, because she does mention that before she tells him she loves her. Or she, like, mentions it before. She, like, says, like, the Oracle said this would happen, and then, like, a few moments later, she confesses her love for him. But yeah, you know, Trinity is a great character. But yeah, so Neo goes God mode, he defeats the agents, and then he escapes, and then, the movie comes to a close with Neo back in the Matrix. Basically, he gets on the phone, and he tells the agents that, or he basically, for the agents to hear, he says, like, I'm gonna show all these people what the real world is, something like that, some threatening thing towards the agents, and then he shoots up into the sky because he can fly now because he's in God mode, and then
fucking badass,
and then Rage Against the Machine plays.
Such a good ending to something.
Yeah, it's a fucking great close.
It's a mic drop for sure.
The whole movie, I was thinking, like, what am I going to make the intro and, like, outro song for these episodes? But then that started, and I was like, no question
at all. No other answer to that, you know? Going back to the red pill, blue pill, and how right-wing idiots, like, joke about the red pill all the time.
Yeah.
And then also them playing Rage Against the Machine at the end, and right-wing idiots don't know what Rage Against the Machine's about.
I saw it. That's so fucking funny.
What the fuck do you think the entire mantra of that band is? But also, that kind of just shows you what the mantra of the movie is in a lot of ways. Like, cognitive dissonance to get to that place is astounding.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, especially, like, yeah, them using that song is a clear indication of, like, how that movie views that sort of thing. But, like, yeah, his Tom Morello, like, painted the back of his guitar. I believe it's the back of the guitar that literally says Arm the Homeless on the front, by the way. I'm pretty sure that's his Arm the Homeless guitar. But on the back of that guitar, he wrote, like, fuck Trump. And, like, a bunch of right-wing idiots got mad. Like, I'm never listening to your music again. Which is, like, you've never actually listened to their music then, if that's the case. Their band name is Rage Against the Machine. Like, what do you think the machine is?
It's like so many, like, right-wing people love the song Born in the USA. But have you ever listened to the words? Yeah, it's not a patriotic song.
It's an anti-Vietnam song, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Like, oh, Tom Morello, I'm never listening to your music again because of you bringing politics into your music. And it's like, their music has been highly political the whole time. That was the whole point of the band.
Absolute dumbasses.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck Tom Morello for saying writing fuck Trump on his Arm the Homeless guitar.
I didn't realize he had a sticker that said Arm the Homeless. That's fucking awesome.
They're big words. That's what it says on the... It's not even very subtle.
Arm the Homeless. Incredible.
Yeah. I also, like, loved, like, the people trolling him. Someone, like, trolled him and said, like, you're not, like, let poli-sci people talk about this. And, like, he has a poli-sci degree from Harvard.
Yeah, he's like, it was like a master's though, right?
It's either a master's or like he graduated with honors.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, he's like a super intelligent guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, shout out to Tom Morello. Cool guy. He's like isn't he friends with Springsteen?
I feel like
he played with him a few times.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. I've seen Tom Morello live at two different Springsteen concerts.
Yeah, he's friends with like a lot. He's friends with like basically everyone. He's one of those guys who's like really well connected.
He really does shred on the guitar.
Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah.
He does shit that's just wild. Anyway, Rage Against the Machine is good. But yes, this movie is good. So how'd you feel after the first time you watched it? It's definitely a movie that like you get more out of it the more times you watch it.
I really enjoyed it. It was exciting and the action scenes were great.
You thought you weren't going to like it going in.
Yeah, I did. I actually, for years, I avoided it because I didn't think I was going to like it. Because I feel like I just knew so much about it already, which I did, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like it was just a well-put-together movie, and I feel like the message of it is, like, we are all in the Matrix, not in the fact that we're all living in an alternate world and AI controls us, but the fact that we're always on our phones or on our computers looking at screens, you know? And during the movie, that kind of hit me, you know? And I was like, holy shit, for a little bit. So it has a lot of ideas, and it's also just a wildly entertaining movie.
It's really entertaining. I think it was a really well done movie. Like I said, like there isn't a lot of wasted time. Like it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, and they build this whole world in it that, you know. I think it is tough to grasp everything at first viewing. That's why, like, I do think you get more out of it the more times you watch it. But, like, it's still, that whole world is there, you know?
It moves really quick, so you don't pick up everything by any means.
Right. Yeah, but at that same time, like, they do kind of, like, they maybe present things faster than you can take in, but, like, they do present everything you need, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, no, I think it's a badass movie. I loved it when I saw it the first time. I like it now. Very for like the late 90s, it's like a pretty woke movie. It's still considered a pretty woke movie. Like it's pretty diverse cast.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is like you could say like Keanu Reeves is kind of like a great white hope. Like, he's, like, pretty... But he's, like, the only straight white guy besides the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he is, like, the one. So there's that, but... I mean, Trinity's a really strong character.
Yeah, she's not, like, just... And I didn't even know she was until the very end.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, generally, like, the crew itself is pretty diverse, especially for, like, a late 90s sci-fi movie. Do you want to get into, or let's do, you want to do fun facts or our favorite quotes?
Before either of those, I want to talk about Keanu Reeves' voice real quick.
Okay.
What a low, I've only seen him in one other movie, and that was a romantic comedy that he wasn't a lead in. Is his voice naturally that low?
Yeah, that's his voice.
That's his actual voice?
That's his voice, yeah.
Wow, okay. It doesn't feel real. That's kind of what, like, I'm not sure. That's the thing. I'm not sure if he's a great actor or a bad actor, but I think it's the voice.
We should do, like, John Wick or something, but, yeah, no, that's his voice. Yeah, he has, like, a weird, I don't know how to describe his accent. He kind of has an accent.
A little bit, yeah. Is he a good actor or a bad actor? I can't tell.
I think he's good. I think he needs to be in, I think he's, it depends on the role. Like, I think there's a limited amount of roles.
Yeah. I don't know if he could do much more than Action Superstar.
Yeah, but he can do Action Superstar, which is, like, good enough, you know? Like,
oh, absolutely. I mean, okay, he was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He was badass.
Yeah, but I think there is a limited scope. I couldn't see him in, like, a super serious, you know? Like, a super serious, like, drama.
Yeah.
Like, he is kind of made for this sort of thing. But, yeah. We already talked about, like, Lawrence Fishburne was... I thought he was incredible in this movie.
Yeah. He might have been the star of the movie, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah, do you want to jump into, like, fun facts and quotes?
Yeah, let's do quotes.
Okay. Mine is a cheap one, but it's the red pill, blue pill scene.
Welcome, Neo. As you no doubt have guessed, I am Morpheus.
It's an honor to meet you.
No, the honor is mine. Please, come, sit. I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole,
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Follow me.
I think, Lawrence, that's like the scene that sticks out for me is like the one that like Lawrence Fishburne just really steals that scene. He's so good. He's so good in that scene. That whole, like, basically that whole monologue from, like, the Alice in Wonderland through the red pill, blue pill thing.
Yeah. After that scene, you completely buy into that character. You only need that scene to be like, this guy has the answers.
And he's like, that's your introduction to him. And he's, like, he's made out to be this, like, kind of legendary figure. But when you meet him, you just, like, you're totally all in. You're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's good, you know.
Yeah. There's just something trustworthy about that scene and about him.
Yeah, he did a great job, I think. What was your favorite quote?
My favorite quote, we mentioned this on the rooftop, when Trinity says, dodge this, and it just caps him in the head. Like
so
a
good.
Fucking badass.
So good.
Trinity! Help!
Only human.
Dodge this.
Yeah, it's just like a classic one-liner, and that scene too is like the second is like the probably the most iconic scene from the movie, just because of the dodge the bullet sequence. Do you want to get into fun facts?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. Let's. Well, so do you know much about the directors?
I know a little bit about it.
Yeah, so this was directed by the, and I will not be able to pronounce this correctly, the Wachowskis.
I thought that was a fantastic pronunciation.
Thank you. Yeah, so it was directed by two sisters. They're actually both trans women. So suck it, J.K. Rowling. yeah, Lana and Lily Wachowski. They co-directed, co-wrote this movie, and it was the first movie they ever wrote. Because of like the scope and budget for it, they actually directed a movie called Bound, came out before this, and that was like basically their audition to actually direct it, because the studio was like, you guys are too new. But Bound ended up being good enough, I guess. So they let him actually direct The Matrix, and they did a great job. But I think that's one of the reasons why this movie is considered even still to be one of the more woke like Hollywood blockbusters that's been made. I feel like that has to be a part of it, you know.
Absolutely. I knew they were women, and I was just shocked that like a woman making an action movie is still rare, let alone in 1999. I had no idea they were transgender, though. That's even more. The fact that they got that big of a budget is really incredible.
Yeah,
and a testament to their talent. Like, you got to be even more incredible if you are a trans, if you're two trans women in this business.
Yeah, you'd have to think like, yeah, there's many obstacles for them to get to this point, I'm sure. But yeah, they did a great job, and yeah, it's one of the most diverse casts for like any sci-fi movie period. Trinity's one of the stronger women in sci-fi, I guess. One of the one of, I guess, like, Switch was originally going to be, like, one gender in the real world and a different one in the Matrix. I guess that was, like, a thing they were thinking about doing, but they ended up not doing that. I don't know why they ended up not doing that, but yeah, that was, like, a thing that I guess, and a lot of people have, like, looked into, like, some people interpreted, like, the red pill, blue pill things to be, like, a nod to, like, transgender, like, concepts, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other lines. I'm trying to find them. But yeah, I think that was, like, that's an interesting thing, because there's not a lot of, like, I'd imagine if you looked up a list of, like, you know, if you wanted to support transgender artists, because perhaps a prominent English author is currently shitting on them, I'm sure, like, the list of films that have actually been greenlit by transgender directors, it's, like, The Matrix and, like, basically nothing else, because that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, especially famous movies, you know? Like, they're probably, like, lesser-known indie movies that might be, but not, like, huge blockbusters.
Yeah. I guess the other line I was thinking about is, I guess, when Morpheus is describing The Matrix, when, you know, he's talking to Neo, and he's like, you know something's wrong, there's, like, a splinter in your mind, but you, like, just can't describe it. I guess, like, some people have interpreted those lines as, like, kind of being a reference to that.
Yeah, well. Totally.
But yeah, I think that's, like, an interesting fun fact about this movie.
Another thing about the directors, they pitched Warner Brothers the movie, and they said that they would need about an $80 million budget. But Warner Brothers were like, no, we're going to give you $10 million. And they used it all on the opening sequence with Trinity as a bet. And they went back to Warner Brothers and was like, we're going to do this. We need $80 million. And Warner Brothers approved it, which is fucking badass. What a gamble.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. And it worked.
That's that, like, that kind of reminds me. I remember the story of, like, when what's his name? The guy who directed Parasite and Snowpiercer, Bong Ho or whatever.
Bong Joon. Oh my god.
Director of Parasite.
Bong Joon Ho.
Bong Joon Ho. Okay. When he was directing Snowpiercer, which was produced by wasn't it produced by Harvey Weinstein? I think it was.
It was, yeah.
But Weinstein was, I guess, was giving him shit about, because like one of the things that makes Snowpiercer incredible is, like, how they create so many different environments on, like, one train, or, like, conceptually one train. You know, mm-hmm. like how all the cars are different, and I guess, like, the aquatic car, or, like, there's some car in particular that Weinstein was giving him shit about, and so he made up this lie that, like, oh, it's, like, a nod to my dad who died. Like, this was, like, his employment, and so Weinstein let him keep it in. And I guess, like, in interviews after, he admitted, he was like, that was just a lie. Like, I just wanted him to stop fucking asking me about this, and, like, it was the only way I could get it, keep it in the movie. It's so badass.
It's so great, especially against Weinstein too.
You're right, yeah. Like,
what a hero Bong Joon-ho is.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, I did not know that. That's awesome that they did that. All right. Other fun facts. So Keanu Reeves was, like, the fifth choice, if even that, for the role of Neo.
Yeah.
Many other people were asked instead of him, including Brad Pitt, Nicolas Cage, many other, I'm just off the top of my head. Oh, Will Smith is the other big one.
I've also seen Tom Cruise and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think I saw those too, yeah. Will Smith formally turned it down, and Nicolas Cage also turned it down. Yeah. He was low on the totem pole, Keanu Reeves, but I thought he did a great job.
I did too. However,
I feel like Will Smith would have done a great job.
He would have done a great job. It would have been way different. It would have been probably like kind of funnier. You know, he's got more of a comedic timing to him.
He's a different kind of charisma, yeah.
Yeah.
It might have felt a little too much like Men in Black.
That could be true.
Which I don't know if this Men in Black came out before this. I have no idea when Men in Black came out.
I think it came out after.
But yeah, I guess that would be the only thing. Was those movies would be more comparable, even though they're different, but
It came out
when did it come out?
1997.
Oh, so just before. Yeah, it would have been interesting.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting if those movies
were Tom Cruise would have been good. I think Leonardo DiCaprio would have been too likable, almost. Keanu Reeves is likable, but in a different way than Leo.
Yeah, Leo would have almost made it lame in a way. If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I think that's what you're kind of getting at, is like, he doesn't have that edge. He's almost like too serious, but like not actually, you know?
Yeah. And especially young Leo is like almost, it would be too serious, but also,
like, he was literally played Romeo.
Yeah, he played Romeo and he was on Titanic, you know? It wouldn't have been a good fit.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
Speaking of Keanu Reeves,
yes.
Another fun fact is he only has 80 lines in the first 45 minutes of the film. And even a better fact than that is, of those 80 lines, 44 of those are questions.
That's hilarious. I never noticed that. That's hilarious. I never even thought about that. Or, like, it didn't even occur to me. But I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he's just so confused in that first half of the movie.
That's funny. Speaking of possible alternative castings, other actors considered for Morpheus included Russell Crowe, Sean Connery, and Samuel L. Jackson.
At first, when I read that, I thought to myself, Samuel Jackson would have been incredible. But because he just makes every movie better. But I don't think that's true. I don't know if somebody else can play this part.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne was so good. Like, I just feel like, and he was the last choice out of all the, like, he was, they, all those guys declined before they was offered to Lawrence Fishburne, but he was so good that I kind of agree.
What a different movie if it was Leonardo DiCaprio and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. But my favorite part about this fun fact, it's like a sub fun fact. Sean Connery turned it down because he did not understand the script, which was, and this according to the this, it was the same reason why he also turned down Lord of the Rings. So this Sean Connery is just fucking so confused. It's like he's just moderately confused by anything. He's just like, fuck this, I'm not gonna do it. It's like two huge movies.
Two of the biggest movies of all time.
Well, one was three movies, so it was just like fucking franchise he passed on. He's like, I don't understand this.
God, that's incredible.
What's your next fun fact?
So the directors said that they would choose the blue pill.
Interesting. Yeah, so we kind of talked about that. So you would take the blue pill as well?
I think I would, yeah. But, I think I'd like to take the red pill.
You know? I think I'm just too curious. I would just be like, because I would know at that, like, in the moment of deciding, I would know. I would just know that there's something conspiracy afoot.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I do look.
And you know how shit. I love a conspiracy.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I didn't even think about it like that. I would probably choose the red pill. I think I would choose the red pill, but I, like, being from, like, a more up above point of view, I'd want to choose the blue pill.
Yeah. All right. The lobby shootout, which we referenced, which is fucking incredible. It's 3 minutes, and apparently they spent 10 days shooting it. There's hardly any CGI touch up in it. It's all just fucking, I mean, like, obviously they're not shooting real guns, but a lot of the like explosions were all like practical effects.
God, that must have just taken so much planning.
Yeah, it's fucking gnarly. But they, yeah, it's great. They did a great job.
So that scene where Keanu Reeves, in the very beginning of the movie, he's escaping his office.
Mm-hmm.
He did not use a stunt devil when he stepped outside on the window ledge. That was actually him. And apparently, like, it was like 63 stories. It was like crazy high up.
Wait, that wasn't just, that was a real building they had him stand out on?
That's what this fun fact made it sound like.
That just seems highly impractical, but I respect it.
I know. What's the point of that?
That's awesome. Wow. I do all my own stunts. Well, my next fun fact also to do
stories
with special...
in air.
Yeah. My next fun fact is about the famous shot and how they shot it. Did you see this?
Oh, lay it on me. No.
So the famous swirling shot of Neo's gravity-defying backbend was made... So it was using a rig that had 120 just digital cameras. Like, not film cameras, just like regular-ass pictures cameras. And they used two film cameras, and they used all of those... all of the images that those cameras took plus the film composites, and it says they stitched all of those shots together frame by frame to help create that illusion. And then they went back and they digitally erased the cameras that would have been able to be seen in the shot.
God, man, that must have taken so much meticulous work and hours.
Yeah, and it's like this is an effect that has been recreated, but it seems like it was invented for this shot and this movie.
Just groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
All right, my last fun fact is that all of the sunglasses in the movies were custom designed for this movie.
They were so cool.
Maybe the coolest part about a very cool movie.
Oh, I loved all the sunglasses. They were all, each pair was so good. But the best ones were Morpheus's without, like, the, I don't even know what you call them. They were just
ear
the glasses.
Holders.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, without the ear holders.
Yeah, and they're definitely the most iconic. Those things are incredible.
Yeah. All right, let me go through some other fun facts. They all had, the directors had them read various amounts of, or a few different, like, philosophy books before filming.
Be curious which books.
Where is it? Brush up on. They read Simulacra and Simulation by Gene Baudrillard, Out of Control by Kevin Kelly. I appreciate that title and his name more than the first person's. and Introducing Evolutionary Psychology by Dylan Ellens and Oscar Zarate. In order to get a better understanding of the world of the movie, they said was the reason why they had all the actors read it. Those books. I don't know much about those books, but
a lot of books.
I'm interested to look them up to see if they're about the world of the Matrix, like before the Matrix.
Yeah, I'd read a synopsis on that.
Yeah, I'd cliff notes that.
yeah.
The movie was entirely filmed in Australia for tax purposes. It helped them cut down on the budget, which is probably
gotta love breaking those taxes.
It's probably a compromise with the studio after they blew all the money on the first scene.
Yeah.
And they were like, fine, we'll give you this budget, but you have to fly to Australia. Yeah. I mean, there's those pictures of like Keanu Reeves training in like a neck brace because he had like a back injury right before filming or something. So like, there's a lot of pictures of him.
He was practicing his stunts before he did them.
That's how he heard it?
I'm assuming so.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of fun facts about this movie. It's a good movie. It's better than Urban Cowboy.
So have you not seen the other two?
I haven't. I've heard they're not good.
Okay.
But I don't know.
So I'm assuming movie two is like random other shit that happens, and then movie three is they kill the AI machines.
It's got to be something like that. I mean, we should do them for the podcast.
I'm down. I'm down. And if they're bad, even better.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely relish bad films. I'm just trying to see.
R.I.P. Urban Cowboy.
The second one was directed by the Wachowskis again. No, the second one is all right. It has decent reviews, I guess. Not as good, but oh nope, someone listed it in the 25 worst sequels ever made. Okay,
that's pretty bad.
People are mixed, I would say. People are mixed on the second one. At best.
They were released in the same year.
I'm saying it was released in 2003.
Yeah, no, the two sequels were released in the same year.
Oh, the other sequel. What was the other one? I'm looking at Reloaded.
Yeah, so there's two. There was Reloaded, and then there's Revolutions.
Revolutions. Oh, yeah, 6 months after. What was the critical response to this one? Very bad. Oh, very, very bad. if there's any good news, a fourth Matrix film began production in February of this year.
And definitely got delayed.
It definitely got delayed, but I'm going to watch the shit out of it when it comes out.
Oh my god, yeah.
I don't know who's... Are the Wachowskis directing it? They are. Oh, no. Only one of the two. One of the two is. I don't know why the other one isn't. I feel like they're a team.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of the Coen brothers is directing by himself for that Hamlet movie. Kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, like, where's your buddy? You know?
Yeah, your team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go get your partner.
Only Lana's directing the fourth Matrix movie. But all right. They wrote the script for V for Vendetta.
Are they making a new V for Vendetta?
I don't think so.
Oh, they wrote the
script for the original one, yeah.
I understand now.
I'm on their IMDb. Okay. Anyway, do you have any other comments on The Matrix?
Good movie. Enjoyable stuff.
Stuff. Gets the Drinking Buddies podcast recommendation.
You're in rare company with Step Brothers and Urban Cowboy.
Candyman, amongst others.
That's another movie, Candyman.
All right, time for this section. Shit we forgot. What are you drinking?
Oh, I am drinking a white Belgian-style wheat ale with spices. It's by the brewery Funk Works, which is why I chose it.
Oh, wait. Is the bottle cool?
I think it's kind of sleek.
Oh, it's very... It's a minimalistic.
Yeah. I dig it.
I'm drinking a Negrini? It's like,
what's a Negrini?
Straightaway, there's like a company called Straightaway Cocktails, and they're like kind of pre-mixed cocktails, but like pre-mixed specialty cocktails. They have one called a Negrini, and it's pretty good.
What type of cocktail is it? What is it similar to?
Gin. I guess like it's, I imagine it's in the same family as like a Manhattan or an Old Fashioned, because it's like, okay, it's gin, vermouth, liqueur, and something I cannot pronounce.
I drink that.
Wachowski.
Wachowski.
It's a hard name to pronounce.
It is a tough name. I didn't even try to take a swing at it. I don't think I did. Maybe I tried.
All right. Are you ready to wrap this up? Are you ready for
focusing?
I am. All right.
You want to go first?
Yes. I had one and I forgot it.
Me too.
So professional.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
People that put eyelashes on their headlights of cars, go fuck yourself.
You, so
I just don't assume you're going to have a bad personality. I do not want to be friends with you. It's obnoxious, and your car is not a person. And this is a lesser of a fuck this thing, but people that name their cars, it does nothing for me. I'm not going to go as far as to say as fuck that, but it's a fucking car. Get over it.
That's good. You're not going to name your new car?
I'll not name it now. I will drive it.
Yeah. I don't know what you can name it, like Power Windows.
Power Windows. Something I want.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. My fuck this thing is I don't know. We'll say Christopher Columbus. Mainly because I think it's hilarious that people are defacing his statues. And I just
the wanna... ultimate fuck this thing in many ways.
It's more like an unfuck this thing because I just think it's hilarious. The best one was when one of the statues got literally beheaded.
Yeah.
And that's like funnier than taking it down.
Yes, it really is. There's just something so like 1770s about it. A beheading.
Did you see as part of the global protests?
Wait, I said that, but Christopher Columbus was not alive in the 1770s. 1400s. Wow. Okay, keep going. I was a history minor in college.
Right. Of course, you know the history. Did you see during as part of the global protests? The people of Puerto Rico brought a literal guillotine to the governor's mansion.
I did see that? They fucking won at protesting.
So good.
Awesome.
I don't know. The French are pretty. They're undefeated.
That's true. The French are pretty great.
Yeah, their firefighters started beating the shit out of cops.
It's like it's fucking turf war.
Yeah, so good, so fucking good. Yeah, shout out to Puerto Rico. Christopher Columbus is a shithead. I don't know. He's one of the worst people who's ever lived.
He's a shitty person in every single way.
Yeah. But he discovered... I loved all the jokes that, like, when they dumped that one statue of him in a lake, and everyone was like, Christopher Columbus has discovered a new lake.
I didn't see that. That's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, we are anti-Christopher Columbus.
We take firm stands.
We say
the things that are tough to say on this podcast.
Right. Fuck Christopher Columbus. Praise the dear leader.
Um,
Biden's response to Trump declaring himself dictator is he's gonna give him $300 million to reform. Did I make that joke at the beginning? I might have made that.
I think
same
you might
joke.
Have done it the first go around.
Okay. What do you mean first go around?
Oh, you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about.
We didn't completely fuck up, and this is our take two.
I'm stuck in the Matrix right now.
That's true. None of this is real, Noah. All right, now we're going to talk about simulation theory. So,
buckle in, everyone.
All right, I think that'll do it. Matrix good, Christopher Columbus bad, eyelashes on car is bad. I wholeheartedly agree. What's next? Tails on your car? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, your car. What are you gonna glue fur onto it?
I hate like the Rudolph shit.
That's another fuck this thing for sure.
Yeah. Which we might have done already. We should have documented these.
We should have. I'm actually pretty sure I have done that.
Yeah. But yeah, fuck that. And with that, upgrade your Zoom accounts with all your fucking money, everyone.